There's a movie called The Money Pit that perfectly captures the nightmare that a lot of Americans are going through right now as they try to find some trustworthy contractor to fix the snow damage and ice damage and flood damage to their houses.
Well, everything looks pretty well under control.
They completely ripped up our house!
They sure as hell did, didn't they? They really ripped the guts out of it. They're work animals, I'm telling you. Look at those holes, huh? Then you got your gravel piles, your sand piles, your scrap piles. Animals!
Animals.
Well, I like a good conversation as well as anybody, but I gotta run. Hasta pronto, if you know what I mean.
You're leaving?
Well, I ain't moving in.
Home repair and remodeling projects are never particularly pleasant, but consumer groups have been issuing urgent-sounding warnings recently that scam artists love to strike after disasters when homeowners are feeling most vulnerable. So, to get some pointers on how to repair or renovate our homes right, we called construction consultant Creed Delano Jackson in Massachusetts. He says to find a reputable contractor, ask your friends for recommendations, of course, but also call the local Chamber of Commerce and other business groups to ask them for recommendations. Then start interviewing the best candidates. Caution, he says, do not jump at the lowest possible estimate, because sometimes the cheapest contractor might also do the worst quality work.
You have to be careful with estimates. Since the contractor gives an estimate, he has an interest in the outcome of the project. So typically what I recommend people to do is to get a third-party estimate by somebody who is not interested in the process.
What do you mean?
For instance, there's an association of construction inspectors based out of Scottsdale, Arizona, which I'm a member. And what we do is we inspect construction for people. Sometimes they're lenders, sometimes they're institutions, but we basically represent the owner. And what we do is we review the cost of the proposal before it takes place to see that the cost that's being proposed can be done for that number.
Oh, so if I get an estimate by, say, a contractor who I think sounds pretty good, I can actually mail the paperwork to somebody and they'll say, yeah, it looks right to us.
Well, you can mail it to me, I mean, for that matter. But the thing that you're trying to achieve is some objectivity.
So the contractor comes over, we chat a little bit. Now, a few times when I've met with contractors, I sort of tried to interview them. I felt a responsibility to ask them questions about, how long they've been in business, blah, blah, blah. And they got really prickly, and sort of made it sound like, hey, don't you trust me? And I felt like we were already getting off to a bad foot.
Exactly, exactly. And therein lies the issue about personality, because if an individual is on the up and up, he would have no problem with explaining to you his credentials, and giving you some references and demonstrating his knowledge of the work that you want him to do.
So what should I ask him?
Well, you need to ask him whether he's licensed, whether he's insured.
Suppose he says, of course I'm licensed. Do I say, well, prove it to me? Show
yeah,
it.
I want to see your license.
Really?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I want to see the license. I mean, I not only want the license, I want a photograph of it, and I want to call the licensing board to find out if there's any complaints against that license. Because let's say that there is a loss or there is a dispute. You want as much information to protect yourself as possible.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
So you would want a license, and you would want a list of references of individuals that, that they did the work for, and you'd want to contact those individuals and, if possible, interview them to some extent to find out if they were satisfied with this individual and go from there.
Okay, so we hire the contractor. We think he's a great guy. And then one day he shows up with an electrician whom we've
Wait a minute now. Wait a minute. You're jumping the gun because you have to have a written contractual relationship with this fellow.
Oh, I forgot about that.
That specifies specifically what he's going to do and what remedies there are if he doesn't do them.
What sort of remedies?
Well, I mean, there's... let's say, for instance, you're renovating your first floor of a two-family and you have to finish by the 30th because you signed an agreement, a lease with a person to occupy it the first of the month.
Mm-hmm.
And let's say that if you don't have that place available the first of the month, you could lose income. So you have in your contract a clause that states what they call penalties, that if this guy doesn't finish this place in a certain amount of time, he has to pay you the equivalent of what you would lose as a result of his failure to perform.
Do you really think some father and son contractor in my area is going to agree to that sort of clause?
Sure, because they understand the process that you're involved in.
Hmm. Well, so far, I'm feeling a little more, I'm feeling a little less helpless in this relationship. I like these suggestions. Okay, now the contractor says, okay, pay me one third or maybe one half up front. Do I?
Well, you don't really want to give him a third up front. I mean, that's an offer that he's making to you, and you're saying to him, look, here's what I'll do. I'll buy your materials, or I'll give you some money, or whatever. I mean, it's something that's negotiable, that you want to negotiate down, that gives you as much advantage as him.
But what's wrong with giving him a third up front?
We could take your money and run.
But I thought he's supposed to be my friend now.
Well, if you feel that confident of that individual at that point, then you should have no problem giving him the money. Let me just mention something else to you with regard to that question. Contractors who are sensitive to the problems of renovation realize that there's a lot of hidden and unexplored areas in old buildings. And it's also incumbent upon the contractor to explain to the homeowner up front in writing as part of the original agreement that his scope of work only covers a certain amount of work, and that anything discovered after that is to be negotiated on a basis that's pre-established, meaning that labor will be charged at $22 an hour and materials will be marked up by 10% and dumping will be added, and that's how you will come to the new cost.
So in other words, if in the middle of the job the contractor discovers that there's an ancient body holed up in the wall, or, you know,
I've seen trees being used as studs, and then the building department requires you to remove it and replace the whole wall.
Okay, so the contractor says, look, I never expected this.
Right.
This is going to cost more money. I should not feel as though I'm being ripped off.
Right. This has nothing to do with me. It's not part of my original deal. It clearly states that the scope of work does not require me to rebuild your house.
And
therefore, I need to be paid for it. And that's a reasonable claim.
Okay, so now comes the day when that electrician who I've never met shows up. I'm crazy about the contractor. He or she and I have the agreement, but the electrician's this total stranger. What do I do now to protect myself from this electrician who I...
Well, what you should have done in your contract is have him list his subcontractors. And then you want to take some time to meet those subcontractors before you sign a contract with him. You have a right to know who's going to be in your house. This is your property.
Really? And so I should meet all those people before
I suggest that you say to the guy, okay, who's your electrician? Who's your plumber? I want to meet with the guy ahead of time. I want to get a feel for him, and I want to get a feel for your basic team. Because what you're buying is a team. If you hire a general contractor, he hires subcontractors that help him fulfill his job. So you're basically bringing on a team of individuals, and you need to get a level of comfort with every single one of those players.
No wonder my home renovation project was such a disaster. I didn't follow any of these
players. Well, I mean, but that's why I wrote the book.
The electrician was an alcoholic. We had to get rid of him.
Oh, I've had situations where they found the electrician or the plumber in the bedroom with one of the younger daughters. and it was there by mutual agreement. You know, I mean, so you want to up front know what team you're hiring, because this is a team effort.
Well, listen, before we go, I just have one more question. Have you ever seen a job go really smoothly where the contractor and the homeowner parted as fast friends?
Plenty of them. You know, interestingly enough, there are more good contractors than there are bad contractors. And good contractors, professional people who get up every morning and do this work and pay their mortgage and send their children to school, are far greater than the vultures that exist. And the horror stories, unfortunately, are the ones that people remember, and the good ones no one ever hears about.
Creed Delano Jackson is the author of The Intelligent Remodeler. Thanks a lot for these tips.
Okay.